What if you could see how your life would unfold over 75 years? The Harvard Grant Study offers exactly this window into human development. Following 268 Harvard men from their sophomore year through their 90s, this remarkable longitudinal study challenges everything we thought we knew about aging, happiness, and what makes a good life. The findings have influenced fields from psychology to healthcare policy, and even provided wisdom to former President Barack Obama during his presidency. Most surprisingly, the study reveals that our lives continue evolving well into our 80s and 90s, far beyond what developmental theories predicted. The journey through adulthood isn't fixed, but remains dynamic, offering hope for growth at any age. The most astonishing discovery? The warmth of your childhood relationships predicts your health and success in late adulthood better than social class, wealth, IQ, or even genes. Men who experienced loving relationships with parents during childhood were significantly more likely to become successful professionals, maintain good physical and mental health, and enjoy fulfilling marriages decades later. Consider Oliver Holmes, raised in a modest Quaker household rich in affection. Despite not coming from wealth, he developed remarkable confidence and interpersonal skills that served him throughout his distinguished legal career and family life. Meanwhile, Sam Lovelace grew up in material comfort but emotional poverty, struggling with anxiety and meaningful connections despite his academic achievements. The impact of these early experiences persisted remarkably. Men from warm childhood environments were 3 times less likely to develop dementia in old age and reported significantly higher life satisfaction. Early emotional security creates a psychological immune system that protects us throughout our lives. Maturing makes liars of us all, writes Valiant, challenging William James's assertion that character is set like plaster by age 30. The study reveals we continue growing throughout adulthood. Adam Newman exemplifies this transformation, evolving from a rigid, ambitious young engineer to an empathetic educator in his 50s, influenced by 1960s social movements and family experiences. The study identified several distinct stages of adult development beyond Erickson's model, showing how we face challenges of intimacy, career consolidation, generativity, guardianship, and integrity throughout life. It's never too late to change. Men who struggled in their 30s and 40s often found new ways to connect and contribute later. Our brains continue developing, with increased myelinization supporting wisdom and emotional regulation, even as other cognitive functions decline. The capacity for change extends to relationships, too. About 70% of participants' second marriages proved more successful than their first. John and Nancy Adams exemplify this. After John's first marriage ended due to emotional immaturity, he committed to therapy, and his second marriage became remarkably successful. Successful second marriages featured greater emotional maturity, better communication, and more realistic expectations. Alcoholism emerged as a significant factor in failed marriages, accounting for about 45% of first marriage failures. But when addressed, second marriages often flourished. The Grant study reveals a profound truth. Good relationships are the strongest predictor of both happiness and health throughout life. When examining 17 variables across constitutional, socioeconomic, and relational domains, warm relationships emerged as the most powerful predictors of successful aging, far outperforming social class, intelligence, or physical constitution. As Valiant states, happiness is love. Full stop. Godfrey Minot Camille exemplifies this principle. Initially deemed a hopeless case due to hypochondria and emotional instability, his life transformed through loving relationships developed later in life. The quality of men's relationships at age 50 predicted their health at 80 better than cholesterol levels. Men with poor maternal relationships faced higher dementia risk, while those with warm paternal relationships earned an average of $87,000 more annually. What ultimately preserves our health isn't just diet or exercise, it's who we love and who loves us back. How we handle life's challenges may matter more than the challenges themselves. The Grant study classified defense mechanisms into four categories: psychotic, immature, intermediate, and mature. Involuntary coping mechanisms that protect us from perceived dangers. Men who primarily used mature defenses like humor, altruism, and sublimation were much more likely to have successful careers, stable marriages, and good physical health decades later, regardless of background. Dylan Bright exemplifies this. Despite an unstable childhood, he channeled rebellious energy into academic ambition, becoming a professor and poet by transforming destructive impulses into creative outlets. Francis DeMille's journey shows how defense mechanisms evolve. Initially relying on repression, military service and life experiences helped him develop more mature defenses, progressing from passive compliance to assertive individuality and eventually artistic sublimation. Defensive styles can improve with age. Many men who relied on immature defenses in youth developed more adaptive strategies as they matured. The way we face adversity isn't fixed. We can learn healthier responses throughout life. Resilience isn't something we're born with, but something we build through the challenges we overcome. The Grant study reveals which aging aspects we can influence across life stages. In early middle age, 40 to 55, mental health emerged as the strongest predictor of physical decline. Poor childhood environments created lasting health impacts, while substance use patterns established in young adulthood accelerated aging. Between ages 55 to 80, vascular risk factors became crucial. Smoking proved perhaps the single most devastating health choice, while alcohol abuse, hypertension, obesity, and type 2 diabetes significantly influenced health decline and dementia. By their 90s, the absence of these vascular risks most strongly predicted survival. While maternal longevity influences lifespan genetically, men who avoided vascular risk factors lived significantly longer, regardless of genetic predisposition. Personality traits tied to perseverance unexpectedly predicted up to 10-year lifespan differences. The research highlighted the compression of morbidity, maintaining good health throughout life with decline occurring only briefly before death. This pattern appeared most often in those with lifelong healthy habits, suggesting lifestyle choices not only extend life but improve its quality in later years. As the men entered their 80s and 90s, clear patterns emerged about what constitutes a good life. Charles Boatwright exemplifies wisdom through his deep connection to family and community, shifting from ambition to embracing life's intangible satisfactions as he aged. Peter Penn represents the contrast. Despite stability in marriage and career, childhood emotional wounds prevented him from experiencing deep joy. The study reveals that the good life stems from the capacity to love and be loved, finding meaning in contributing to others and maintaining hope and gratitude even in difficulty. Men who developed these qualities found the greatest satisfaction in their final years. In a world fixated on quick fixes, the Grant study reminds us that valuable insights come from seeing life in its entirety. As Valent concludes, the only thing that really matters in life are your relationships to other people. The question isn't what you'll achieve, it's who you'll love and how well you'll love them.